Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bring him in now, J.P. Cadoran of Spectrum Sports, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. That's a weird way to give you an intro, isn't it?
Just for the record, I will attend any Hall of Fame that wants to induct me. I just want that on the record. I know there are a few things about it. Probably, I'm guessing I'm in line for the Chicken Finger Consumption Hall of Fame sometime soon,
right,
just based on quantity alone. I will accept when they extend the invitation.
I am looking forward to covering that, just so you know.
Yeah, I
would be there for that.
Chicken fingers.
Yes, just to see that for myself. Hey, a couple of things. Let's first of all start off with the staff of Budenholzer keeping Sweeney, who is Giannis's guy, and now he brings in the rest, including a guy that we're familiar with in Darvin Ham. Give me your thoughts on the Budenholzer hire and then moving forward from there.
Yeah, I think first of all it's the Sweeney name that sticks out. I mean, I think it's easy to connect the dots and say that Giannis had a big part in that, right? I mean, that's somebody who's been with Giannis for years now and who has helped develop him. That little spat on the court notwithstanding that people talked about for a little while, I mean, those two are close. And I have to imagine that that has been at the forefront of conversations as they work to develop that coaching staff. You gotta get some input from the players, especially the star. Not that they get to pick the staff, but that they have some input. And I have to imagine that's what happened here. So I'm fine with that, and I'm fine with everybody else they picked. I trust him. I'm more interested in what he can do than his assistants for now.
So in keeping that group together, his staff together, and bringing in a familiar face like a Darvin Ham, keeping Sweeney there because most likely Giannis said, hey, I'd really like to keep this guy in the staff, and I work well with him. What level of expectation do you have? Now, granted, as the team sits, we don't know if you're going to have Jabari back or not. We don't know if there's going to be an additional move. But as it sits right now, what's the expectation?
Yeah, and I like how we can't even guess what any additional moves are because that contract is – or that the not the contract, the salary cap and their roster the way it is so basically locked in at this point. They have so little room to maneuver that you can't really even pretend to guess what they could do. You can't even talk about free agents coming in. Because especially if Jabari signs, you're maxed out. I mean, you're not only salary cap, you're luxury tax. You're flirting with that. So that roster is tough. So really what it needs to happen is Mike Budenholzer knows exactly what he's working with. So I think that I'm hoping and I'm guessing and I believe that was part of the interview process is that, listen, this is your team, right? I mean, this is the roster that you have. Short of finding a trade partner where you can give away somebody like John Henson and get I don't know what back, that's the roster that he has to work with. So again, I'd like to think that was part of the process where Budenholzer knew that this is kind of what he's stuck with and that he doesn't have a lot of room to maneuver. So that said, I'd like to think he has some pretty good ideas for what to do with this roster, both on offense and defense. At both ends of the floor, we have seen this team be so good. We have seen, especially offensively, we have seen them be fantastic. Defensively, obviously they're not great, but they can be. And they have been, right? They can be because of their length and because of the skills of the players involved. And they have been. We've seen it at times. So I trust somebody who is actually a proven successful head coach, as opposed to Jason Kidd, who wasn't, Joe Prunty, who wasn't. I trust somebody like Budenholzer to have a system in place. I don't think he's going to tell us that system yet, by the way. But I think he's going to have a system in place that's going to maximize the roster that he has.
Moving over towards the Packers, because I do want to cover just about everything, but moving over to the Packers. So we're going to hear Mike Pettine coming up here in a little bit. Mike McCarthy has said a lot, spoken a lot, not necessarily saying a lot, but in that sense, I mean, what can you report? I mean, come on. I mean, other than some of the injuries and such, which he's not going to get into, the biggest topic right now is Aaron Rodgers' contract, Clay Matthews' nose, and some guys on this defensive side of the football in the sense that they feel that they're on the right track. They feel that Pettine is not your kinder, gentler Dom Capers father figure. He's a guy that's getting in your ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I love it. And that. So OTAs are pretty meaningless, right? I mean, we can all agree that it is May and now early June. No, we're not going to learn a lot, and that's fine. And Mike McCarthy isn't going to say a lot, and that's fine. I'll tell you, one of the things I'm very intrigued by is the depth of the secondary. Now, I don't know if it's good depth, but they have depth right now. Theoretically, Quentin Rollins, who was obviously a starter last year and even one of your better players, dare I say, last year, he's like a third-string player right now, right? With Kevin King, if he's healthy, Alexander and Jackson coming in as rookies, maybe Tremont Williams or Devon House is ahead of Rollins. So, I mean, this is in theory, a very deep group. And then I know the name Dimitri Goodson came up in one of the OTAs I was at. I forget which one. But, like, we're so conditioned to think that guys who are stars will be stars and guys who aren't stars won't be, right? Like, we're so busy looking from the outside of saying, who are they bringing in at outside linebacker? Why aren't they helping this team? When in reality, you have guys like Vince Beagle and Kyler Fackrell who aren't phenomenal players right now, all right? By no means am I saying that. But, like, we're just assuming that they're not going to get better. And I think that's a little premature, because if players like Fackrell, Beagle, Goodson, Quentin Rollins, if they get better, this team's doing pretty well.
I would agree. I know that, and Joe and I were discussing this earlier, philosophically they're talking about this pass rush, it's going to be up the gut. And I said all along, look, if you've got Lawrence Taylor, if you've got, say, a J.J. Watt, if you've got somebody else coming from the outside, then we're talking strictly about the outside pass rush and the pressure those guys can put on. They don't have that. There wasn't one available. You couldn't go buy one. So what is the likelihood that this team is able to generate a consistent pass rush with philosophically what they believe the guys in the trenches?
Well, the way I'm looking at their defense is a little bit like I looked at the Brewers this year. When the Brewers built their roster, they upgraded their offense, right, with Lorenzo Cain, Christian Yelich. They upgraded their bullpen, adding a number of names, and they're certainly decently performing, if not overperforming. And they didn't really address their starters. But in theory, the rest of their team got so much better that their starters don't have to be filled with aces. Now, we're seeing a little bit of a slide here, losing 4 or 5. Who knows how long-term this success goes. But I'm optimistically thinking of the Packers' defense in the same way. They've upgraded their interior pass rush, right? They've upgraded their defensive line. I'd like to think that they've upgraded their secondary, specifically at cornerback, but I think even safety they can be pretty good again too. So I'd like to think, and I think their inside linebackers are decent, if not good. I'd like to think that if those areas are all better, then that means that you can accommodate a less than stellar outside linebacking group. And there's the other part of that too, where, you know, Clay Matthews talked about how the depth isn't where he wanted it to be, or that position group isn't what he wanted it to be. Well, if he and Nick Perry are healthy, then it is what you want it to be, because those are two impact players. So if they live up to what they're supposed to be, well, then you're pretty good if Kyler Fackrell and Vince Beagle are your backups, you know? So there's a lot of moving parts on this whole defense, right? I mean, even somebody like Muhammad Wilkerson, like what player is he going to be? What type of player is he going to be? There's a lot of questions, but right now I'm not so sure that I don't like the answers. You know, I think it might be a decent defense.
How concerning is just having two guys with real experience at the safety position in HaHa Clinton Dix and then even the guy in Josh Jones, who's only had one season?
Yeah,
and that was not necessarily a great season.
Yeah, Josh Jones is one of your more experienced players, right? I mean, that's not a good thing. You should, in theory, you should have some people back there helping him out. I'd like to think that maybe that's not as big of a deal. Hopefully, I don't know Mike Pettine's defense in and out. I'm hoping that there can be different packages they use to cover for that shortfall, right? I mean, the amount of times that they line up in a 3-4 base defense are, what, 6 times a game, if that? You know, they're in different...
They're Dom, yeah. You wonder if they're going to do it more.
Yeah, so I'd like to think that he knows that and that he's not, you know, I don't want to say that he's not a fan of Marwin Evans or Kentrell Bryce or any of those guys, but, you know, but also, before we disparage them, maybe they get better too. You know, it's that same thing with somebody like Beagle and Fackrell. I think it's funny that in other sports, we always talk about guys taking jumps between second or third years or something like that, but yet, you know, somebody who's a backup in the NFL, we're just so quick to dismiss. Now, it doesn't happen a lot. That's probably the reason why, but that's not to say it can't, and I'm banking on one or two of those guys that I've mentioned. If one or two of those guys can become an impact player, then this defense, again, then it can be pretty good.
JP Gannorin, reporter and anchor for Spectrum Sports 32. Real quick before I let you go, all the talk has been about what the Brewers should do. I know there's some people panicking because the offense has been relatively inconsistent. Pitching or a bat, that seems to be the discussion. Machado obviously comes up continuously. What do you see the Brewers doing down the road here?
Yeah, if I had to pick hitting or pitching, I would probably pick hitting, which is kind of an insane sentence to say. But my concern with the Brewers going back to last offseason and throughout this year is that David Stearns has banked on a lot of guys last year's being their actual performance, right? Like, he's banked on that being the baseline for what a lot of these guys can do in Travis Shaw, Eric Thames, Domingo Santana. He has thought that that wasn't career years for anybody, that that's the expectation now, and that's a dangerous game to play, especially with somebody or with a team and a roster that's built around home runs. If you're banking on all those guys using basically last year, Manny Pena is another one that comes to mind. If you're using last year as the standard, as the expectation, I think that sets you up for some disappointment. And so I think that's, I'm guarded against that. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm worried that some of these guys, that what we saw last year when so many guys had breakout seasons, I'm worried that that's going to be as good as they get. So if you had asked me pitching or hitting, I'm thinking hitting.
Do you trust that Stearns and Council have it heading in the right direction?
I certainly think it's in the right direction. I mean, at this point, it's been a third of the season. You know, they're not really there. I don't think there are too many smoke and mirrors being used here to distract people from what this team actually looks like. I think this is what they are. I think they are a streaky team by nature, one that does live and die by the home run ball. But I also think that they can be pretty good. That I feel like I said this, just said this with the Packers. But if these guys are playing up to their potential, this is a really good team. You know, I mean, if they get contributions up and down the lineup from these guys, when this lineup is hitting, they are scary. 1 through 6, they're scary. But they got to hit.
Good stuff as always, JP. Appreciate it, man. I'll see you out there out and about real soon, okay?
Yep, for sure. See you, Bill. Thanks.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.